Mr. Chairman, our next witness is Mr. Matthews, and Mr. Addison will question him.
Mr. Matthews, what city are you from? Are you presently an inmate at Attica?
Yes, I am.
Did you go to high school in Buffalo?
Yes, I did.
Did you complete high school at Buffalo?
No.
What did you do when you left high school?
I went into the service of United States Marine Corps.
Did you volunteer for the Marine Corps?
Yes, I did.
Why did you volunteer for the Marine Corps?
Well, I had blown school, you know, and I felt as if I still owed something to my parents because at the time my parents had expectations of me, you know, going to school, getting a diploma, going on to college. Consequently, I blew that when I got kicked out, right? So now, my next best thing that I thought that I could possibly make up for them was to go into the service. This is what I did.
Would you speak up, please? Would you speak up, please? How long a period did you volunteer?
4 years.
Did you complete the entire 4 years?
No, I didn't.
Now, after getting out of the Marine Corps, you returned to Buffalo?
Right.
Upon returning to Buffalo, did you find employment?
Not right away, no.
When did you find employment? How long afterwards did you find employment?
Well, maybe somewhere between 8 months to a year. I got a steady job. Prior to that, I had was out in more or less the streets, you know.
Yeah. Have you used narcotics?
Yes, I have.
You were a junkie after you came out of the Marine Corps?
Right.
And how long were you involved with narcotics?
Approximately since 64, 65 to 71.
At any point did you abandon narcotics? During that period?
Periodically, off and on, yes.
Was any one thing that made you abandon it?
Right. After I came out of the service, I myself felt as though I had let my family down for a second time. Mm-hmm. I got an undesirable discharge. Through trying to find myself as to what I should do in relation to job-wise, I started to hang out, right, in the street. Behind this, I was subjected to the ghetto life, drugs, hustling, stealing, sticking up, things of this nature. This is what I applied my talents to. This is the life that I got involved in. And subsequently, this is what I started doing. Shooting dope, things of this nature.
And was there anything that made you abandon it?
Right. At one point, I came to the conclusion that this is not really what I wanted. This was not what I was seeking.
And what did you then do?
I, in turn, came into contact with the militant groups that was had sprouted.
Mm-hmm. Any particular group?
I joined the NCCF, National Committee to Combat Fascism, organizing real supposedly of the Black Panther Party. Mm-hmm. Now, in this, I thought maybe to hear someone who's trying to do something about the situation of the everyday Joe Blow in the streets, right? I had found out that these particular people, I thought, were trying to help, right? So this is what drew me to this particular organization. Mm-hmm. I involved myself. I got involved.
What kind of things did you hope to do?
Well, what I wanted to do was clean up the populace or the area, the community in which I came from. I wanted to help the young brothers and sisters that were coming up under the conditions that I came up in. This was my main goal.
Okay, so Mr. Matthews, you got out of the Marine Corps, you then looked for a job for a year to 8 months to a year.
About that.
You finally found some kind of employment.
Right.
You then got out, became a junkie, got involved in the hip life, and then you saw that this wing of the Black Panther Party represented some hope for the community and some means of liberating the community. And then you were arrested.
Right.
Now, you were arrested for what charge?
Well, my first bus, and I've had a few. My first one was burglary. This happened in the year of 67.
Mm-hmm. Speak up, please.
This happened in the year of 1967. Now, when I had got busted for this particular job, this particular thing, I had a job at the time, right? But I lost my job. Right? I was sent to jail. You know, I got out on bail, right? Now, during this time, off and on, I found work periodically.
Were you still using drugs at that time?
At the time, I was still, right, I was using drugs.
When you were convicted, and then sentenced to come to Attica, what did you expect to find at Attica?
Well, I had heard some very frightening tales about Attica. Nothing that I had heard about Attica was, how should I say, nice. Everything that I heard was frightening. They told me they had hardened criminals, cats that had 20 to life.
And how much time were you going to spend there?
I was going to spend, I got 5 to 10 years.
What else did you hear about Attica?
Well, I had heard that the correctional service, the correctional department, didn't take any jive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you gave them any type of static, you would be severely dealt with.
So you were convicted and sentenced to Attica, and in anticipation of going to Attica, you heard about
right.
You heard about the nightmare of Attica.
Right.
So you arrived at Attica. When you arrived at Attica, you were sent to a reception facility.
Right.
And how long did you spend in reception?
Approximately 30 days, about a month.
And during that 30 days, I understand that an inmate goes through some kind of orientation.
Right.
Now, you were in Attica for 30 days, and this is prior to your assignment to a job.
Right.
So therefore,
very limited school education program. And all of this, quite naturally, I'm taking in because these are the things that I was supposed to be sent here for, to reorientate myself, to better myself.
You were sent to Attica for rehabilitation?
Supposedly, yeah.
Now, I understand you had an interview at Attica at the
right.
reception center.
Right.
What takes place during this interview?
Well, you're called down in front of the PK.
The PK is?
Right.
Is the principal keeper.
Principal keeper, right. He has two bars on his shoulder, white shirt, black tie, cap with gold braid, and you rap to him. Now, he asks you, you have your record in front of him on a piece of card about so why. So he says to me, he said, well, you got 5 to 10 years, Matthews. I said, right. He said, what do you want to do? I said, well, seeing as though that I blew my schooling, I would like to take a school program course in school. I would like to finish my high school education. He said, solid on that. He said, anything else? Do you have anything else in mind? I said, right. I said, I would like to get into some particular type of program that would give me a trade so that when I left the institution and I got back out there in the world, society, I could do something useful. He said, right. He said, well, what do you have in mind? So now I'm already aware of the limited program that they have. And at the particular time, they had a metal shop, tailor shop, and school.
Now, you were a junkie prior to coming to Attica.
Right.
And you had not long before abandoned that.
Right.
Did you have any rehabilitation prior to coming to Attica?
As far as drug addiction, none whatsoever. No.
So how did you kick your drug habit when you got to Attica?
When I got to Attica, I had to more or less reorientate myself. I had to rehabilitate myself. You see, I realized that I shot dope for a particular reason. Now, what I had to do is find out the reason. And now, after I found out the reason, I had to make a supplement for this. I had to put the drugs aside and put something that would take the place of the drugs. And I know that in finding something, it would have to be on a higher level than shooting dope.
So you requested a school program?
I requested a school program, right.
And you were assigned to what program at Attica?
I requested to go to school, and I requested for the tailor shop, and I wound up in the metal shop, which I had anticipated anyway.
Why did you anticipate going to the metal shop?
Well, in the first place, all of the old heads, the prisoners that were already in there, told me, well, that's where you're going. You know, now you can ask for this, or you can shoot for that, or you can request this, or you can request that, but you're going to wind up in the metal shop. This is where I wound up, metal shop.
And why did you think, or why did they tell you that you would be going to the metal shop? Why do you think they told you that?
The fellow inmates?
Yeah.
Because the majority of them knew what was happening with the rehabilitation program, because the majority of them knew what was actually going down in the penitentiary, in the prison.
Which is what?
Which was that wherever the establishment pushed you is where you're going, regardless of where you want to go.
Okay, so you were assigned to the metal shop.
Right.
I understand there are two metal shops at it.
Right, yeah. Right.
You were assigned to which one?
Metal one.
And what was your first job assignment?
My first job assignment was the assembly of metal lockers, wall lockers.
And what else does the metal shop do besides assemble wall lockers?
Well, they have assembly line. They have two shears where they cut sheets of metal about, which are from 3 to 4 feet wide to 5 to 6 to 7 feet long. They have a machine that punch holes in the metal where you put your screws and bolts in. They have a machine that cuts several angles in the metal to place them together.
Are there a large number of black inmates in the metal shop?
Right. The majority of them are black.
The majority of inmates in the metal shop are black. Right. This is metal shop one.
This is metal one.
Now, what was your first assignment again?
My first assignment was assembly of the lockers.
How much money did you earn?
About 30 cents a day.
30 cents a day?
Right.
How much money was the average inmate earning there in metal shop one?
The average inmate, about that, unless he had been there for a period of a time, maybe 8 to 6 months or a year or two, he might earn 45 cents, 50 cents.
All right. Are the inmates in metal shop two earning a similar salary?
Metal two. The majority of inmates in metal two, the majority of them are earning much, or we would say in the metal, in prison, a great amount more than the guys in metal one.
And how much would that be?
That would be somewhere from 80 cent to 90 cent to a dollar.
And that would be considered a very good job.
Right. Right. This is what is known as fourth grade. You have four grades, first, second, third, and fourth. First grade, you earn maybe 30, 35 cents. Second, you earn maybe 40 to 60-something cents. Third, you earn 65, maybe to 70 cents, 75 cents. Fourth grade, you earn anywhere from 75 up to a dollar.
Mr. Matthews, what was your impression of the metal shop?
I had a very dim view of the metal shop when I showed. Now, when they transferred me from reception to B block, where it houses the prisoners that work in the metal shop, right? I had vowed to close my door and not come out.
Why did you decide to do that?
Because they had put me some place where I didn't request to go. You know, and I thought the man was going to be what's known as fair with me. You know, he had me under the impression that there's a great possibility that I would go to school and that I would get the tail shop, which didn't jump off. I wound up in the metal shop. So quite naturally, I'm mad. I got attitude. So I'm not going to work nowhere.
So at this point, did you abandon your hopes for obtaining some further education?
Well, right. A couple of guys walked by my cell. They said, oh, this new dude, huh? Well, I see he don't know what's happening. Yo, brother, you might as well go on to the metal shop or lay in that cell, you know?
You mean if you don't go to work, you lay in the cell?
Right.
Would you lay in the cell 24 hours a day?
Right.
With exception of meals?
Right.
If you're not working?
I beg your pardon?
If you're not working?
You said
it. If you're not working, you have to spend all of your time in with
right.
exception of meal time.
Right.
So you were told that you would be assigned to a program.
Right.
Or you requested a program.
Right.
You were denied the program, but assigned to the metal shop.
Right.
You became hostile.
Right.
Did you ultimately go to work?
Yeah, well, I had to pick the lesser between two evils. I had to either lay there or go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I got tired of laying there and I went to work.
So you spend approximately 5 hours a day working.
5 hours? A day working?
Yes.
No, it's more or less like eight.
Approximately 8 hours a day working.
Yeah.
And at this point, did you abandon your intentions of getting an education, or did you pursue something else?
No, I hadn't abandoned it, but I was greatly disappointed in the way that operations were going. I had asked for schooling. They told me the reason why I was here to rehabilitate myself, and this is what I'm trying to do, and consequently, they shoot me a curve. So now, behind this, I'm angry. I got a hostile attitude because I feel as though, again, I'm getting messed up, right? But nobody to turn to, so now I got to roll with the punches and go on to work, you know? We either land the sale, you know? So now I go to work, but I still have the intentions. I still want to pursue my education, right?
Did you make further inquiries for an education
program? No, I
dropped
the tab.
What do you mean you drop the tab?
Now, when you say you drop a tab, it's a little piece of paper. You know, you write down on what, you know, what are you requesting, you know, and you drop it in the mailbox.
To whom?
Correspondence, PK, whoever you want to get an interview from.
And you drop the tab to whom?
I drop the tab to PK.
Requesting what?
Requesting as to my education program. Right, or what's happening with it. All right, so now maybe 6 or 7 months later, I get a book about that thick, you know, about so big, shoot it to me, Marcel. It's got math, algebra, English.
Speak up, please.
English, math, algebra, social studies, all of this compiled in this one book.
Was this for a special program?
This was known as a cell study program.
What would you achieve upon completing a program like that?
Now, what I would achieve is, it's a book, it's GEB, I believe, or something to this
GED.
Effect. GED.
For a high school equivalency
there
diploma.
There it is, the high school equivalency diploma.
Now, by cell study, do you mean that it's a program that the inmate has to work through himself
right.
in the cell?
The inmate has to get it on his own, right.
And what subjects did you have to cover there?
Math, English, science, history, you know, maybe those four compiled.
What was your reaction to this program?
I beg your pardon?
What was your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction to this was, it was none too cool, you know, because I had, as I said before, I had left school in the 10th grade, right, and I didn't even finished the 10th grade, right? So now, when I came to Attica, I requested to go to school, right? To further my education, right? Now, after being denied this, right, 6-7 months later, they shoot a book up under me, and they say, get it for yourself, right? So now, I don't know anything in this book. This book, to me, is Greek, understand? Because I didn't need anyone to slide a book up underneath me. What I needed was a teacher to tell me the difference between amoeba and a protozoa. I needed the teacher to tell me the difference between a pronoun and an adjective. I needed the teacher to tell me how to get the square root of pi minus x. I needed the teacher to tell me what made Rome fail and why Rome fell. I didn't need anybody to slide a book up underneath me. See, because when they did this, quite naturally, I got attitude again. Now I'm mad all over again, because this is inadequate. You know, they got words in here that I don't even understand. I've never seen before.
Did you abandon your educational
intent? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Brother Matthews, let's talk about your relationship with correction officers. How do black inmates relate to correction officers?
They don't. You just get along. He has a job to do. You got a job to do. His job to make sure you do your job, and your job is to do it. That's it.
Is there any discrimination in the treatment of correction officers against black inmates?
Very much. Quite a bit.
Can you give us some examples of those?
Well, like, take me, for instance, right? Now, when I first came to B Block, they were lining up going to chow one day in the mess hall, right? So I got in the line. I went on to chow. This happened about 3 or 4 days. So this one particular correction officer come up to me. He said, well, now, dig this. He said, I want you to get in front of the line because you're kind of a tall fellow. Now, this particular correction officer likes to see his men lined up like little tin soldiers all down the line. Tallest in the front, the little guy in the back. So he tells me to get in front. So now I look at the dudes, and I don't know any of them. And to me, all the stories I've heard, they're cold-blooded killers, you know? So now I'm not going to be elbowing my way up there trying to please this dude and get in line with these dudes I don't know nothing about that's got to be in here for a duration of 10 to 20 years, 30 years and whatnot, because I don't want to step on nobody's toe. You know, so consequently, when I slide up in line, they look at me, right? So I look back at them, hey, what can I do? You know, dude put me here, you know, don't get mad at me, you know. So now I go to chow, you know, very uncomfortable, you know, but I go anyway, right? So now when we come back, today, another correction officer comes on. This particular correction officer is not on today. Another guy is in his place. So now when I go up to him, I say, hey, mine, I say, what did I get in line? Right? He said, well, I don't care where you get in line, man. Just line up and gone, you know, don't give me no trouble. So this is what I did, right? I got at the end of the line again, you know what I mean? And it seemed like the guys up in front were more pleased, you know. They felt more comfortable. I did too, you know. So now everything was groovy.
Have you generally found that you cannot anticipate a rule or how a rule is going to be applied by the officers?
Would you repeat that?
You've just said that officers, one officer will tell you to line up, the other officer will say, I don't care how you go, child.
Well, you see, whenever a new rule is instituted, you know, it's usually by the whims of an officer. You know, not too many come down from the higher authority, you know. It all depends on how the officer feels at this particular time. If he says, this is a rule, and that's it, so be it, you do that. If another guy comes on, he say, this is a rule, so be it, you see. So when each officer, as an individual, come on, you go by his rules and his regulations. This is the rule.
Now, the officers at Attica carry nightsticks or sticks.
Right.
How are these sticks used by the officers?
Well, now, you're having a conversation with an officer, and he's standing up with his arms folded, and he has his ignorance stick in his hand, like this, you know. So right there, you get aware of intimidation, you see. And you ask, you say, you know, why this dude got to stand up here in front of me with a stick all on his chest and whatnot? Why don't he put it behind him or something? You know, why don't he try to hide it or something?
How do you feel about that stick? How does that stick make you feel?
How do I feel about the stick? Well, I myself, I don't particularly care for the stick. You understand? I don't particularly care for the stick at all. You know, when you come outside of the metal shop, or when you're lying up in the hall, you know, here's this guy beating on the wall. Bam, bam, bam. All right.
Excuse me, Mr. Can we stop one moment so he can change his tape? You were talking about the use of the sticks by officers.
Right.
You said they beat them against the walls.
Right. This particular procedure to quiet inmates down.
Do they use it for any other reason? Do they
intimidation.
In
to let
way?
You know that they're establishment and you're a prisoner. This is more or less second nature with them. You know, this is a everyday occurrence. You know. Everywhere you go, you got a correction officer with a stick. He has it wrapped around his hand with a little piece of rawhide, you know, and he carries it. And so, menacing manner. You know, all this is intimidation. Now, any man in his right mind can't dig this, can't understand it, plus he can't go for it. You know? Now, if I was to talk to you and I got a big stick in my hand, hey, you know.
So, your relationship with the officers has been that, one, you don't know what to expect because the rules are applied inconsistently.
Right.
Two, the general attitude, and then particularly the fact that the sticks are used, one, to direct you from one place to another,
right.
And most importantly, to intimidate your manhood.
Right.
Have you found that the officers will apply the rules differently to black inmates and white inmates?
Very much so. You know, now, my impression when I came to Attica was that everybody was an inmate, whether you were black, brown, blue, or pink. But this isn't so. You understand? Now, they have instituted ideas long before I came, whereas there's a difference between black and white. At one time, in the barbershop, they had a particular set of inmates to cut the white fellow's hair, and a particular group of inmates to cut the black inmate's hair. They would say, all right, the white guys line up over here, black guys line up over here. They had what is known, and this is legend in the prison populace about black ice and white ice.
What do you mean by black ice and white ice?
Now, every year, 4th of July, they have a big gala festival where they open all of the yards and they let the inmates circulate, right? Now, it's a big party, a big feast. Guys have Kool-Aid, lemonade, whatnot, and they're out in the yard. Band is being played. Guy can circulate and see his brother or a friend of his that he hasn't seen in maybe 6 years, 7, 10 years, right? Now, they come to the yard with a big 50-gallon drum of ice, and they say, all right, guys line up to white ice, right? So they throw the ice on the ground.
Which inmates line up for?
Now, the white guys get this ice. This is what is known as white ice. And after they finish getting their ice, they come along with another gallon. They come along with another drum filled up with ice, and they throw this on the ground. And they say, all right, black ice for the black guys. And the black guys get this ice.
Now, you were there last 4th of July.
Yeah, right.
Do they still practice this?
No. No,
issuing
they,
white ice and black
they
ice?
They no longer practice the white ice and the black ice. They simply throw it on the ground now and say, go for yourself.
Okay, so you came into the institution last year. You just said that one practice has been abandoned, but you said that there are other examples of discrimination on the part of officers.
Right. As a matter of fact, the package room where you get your packages, now, I myself don't eat any pork, right?
Is that because you're a Muslim?
Yes, right. Now, in my packages, right, which is supposed to be a certain many pounds, 15, 25 pounds, something of this sort, right? Now, the majority of the things that they turn away from me is the majority of the things that I want, right? But they say that I cannot have this, right? I was down at a particular time and I had a dickie on. I had made myself a dickie.
What is a dickie?
A dickie used to be in style a couple of years back.
I'm sorry.
Turtleneck, you know, little piece of cloth, you know what I mean? You slipped it over your head under your shirt, you know, call these dickies, right? So now, officer told me, he said, hey, man, he said, can't have anything around your neck. I said, what do you mean? He said, you got to take that off, right? So I took it off. So now I'm getting my package, right? So I had to take it off. I received my package and I was getting ready to split. A white guy came in with a white turtleneck sweater on. And it was all up under here, right? So now I'm at the gate and I'm getting ready to go back to the block. But before I leave, I'm going to see what the dude is going to tell him, you know? And before I get out, he don't tell him anything, right? When I'm looking back, and I'm proceeding, right? I'm waiting for him to tell him that you got to take that off and you can't have that. But that don't jump off, right? He got his packages and everything and nobody said anything. He was allowed. But me, you know, I had to take mine off.
Would this generally be true with most black inmates?
Now, this is bad.
Now, you talked about discrimination, right, and the application of rules. You've talked a great deal about the correction officers.
Mm.
Have you ever been locked up within Attica for violating any rule?
Right, I was locked up. I was locked up for talking after hours. When I first came, they have what is known as, we call the shut up bell. It rings at 8 o'clock. After that, no talking. Right. So now, I was rapping, you know, and the officer came sliding down the gallery, you know, and he busted me. Right. So you got to keep locked. I said, wow, big deal, give me another one. Boom, all right, you got another one, right? All right, so I got two at one time.
What do you mean by keep locked?
Keep locked means that you stay in your cell 24 hours a day. You don't go out for nothing, for no reason at all. You eat, sleep, and no recreation, no yard, no work.
How much time would you normally spend in your cell?
15 hours.
So therefore,
keep locked wasn't a big thing, as far as I was concerned.
Have you ever been, or have you had knowledge of any physical abuse by correction officers?
I had heard stories, right? But now, actually seen any, I have never witnessed. But now I have been told that the procedure is to take you out of your cell, shoot you to what is known as HBZ, which houses the box area, right? And there are, that's where it all
this is segregation.
From. This is segregation, yeah.
What about verbal abuse?
Now, verbal abuse, right? Now, the correction officers, they're by no means dummy, you know. Quite naturally, they know if they call you out of your name, black this or black that, you know, you can write them up, right? So now what they do is that they play you out of position. They use a little drugstore psychology on you, right? They get you to such a point where you blow, yeah?
What do you mean?
They needle you, they pick, you understand? Like, you may be talking in the hall when you know that you can talk at a moderate tone, right? When he tells you, all right, Matthews, knock it off, you know? So quite naturally, the first thing you're gonna do is you're gonna turn around and say, look, man, the rule says I can talk as long as it's at a moderate tone. He said, I said, knock it off. I don't want you to say nothing. I said, but the dude's up there. I talk. He said, don't worry about them. Worry about you. Understand? So now, consequently, you know, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, too. You know, I'm going to tell him how I feel. But after I tell him how I feel, I'm going to have a keep lock.
You're going to be locked up.
Right.
Do you think the relationship between correction officers and inmates would be much better if you had black officers at Attica?
Not so much so, because you got some black officers that are a dilly too, you know.
What's needed?
Maybe what's really needed is that they need to go to school. They need a human relations program. That's what they need. They need to learn how to relate to another individual as a human being, as a man, and not as it, thing, or subhuman. That's what they need.
You don't think that black inmates would be treated much better unless you had that kind of orientation?
Right.
Mr. Matthews, we've talked about abuse of inmates in general. Mm. And let's talk now about political groups. You're a Muslim.
Right.
Are Muslims treated any differently in Attica?
Right. Let me say this, that at the present, in order to call myself a Muslim,